Gangster Granny by David Walliams. Julia McKenzie, Reese Buttery. A car pulls up outside a house in a cul-de-sac.
She's so boring.
Ben, don't talk about your gran like that.
Well, she is, but your dad's right. Don't be rude.
A man wearing a snazzy red sequined top and tight black trousers gets out of the car at the same time as an 11-year-old boy.
Oh, hello, son. How's my little Benny?
Hello, Mother. How are you?
Oh, no, not so bad.
Great. Well, gotta go.
Oh, can you not pop in for a quick cuppa?
Well, I'd love to, but...
Mikey, you're going to be in there all day?
Mint.
You all right, dear?
Yes, thank you, dear.
Sorry, we've been up to our rivals at the salon. We've had a rush on spray tans. Ben, one of us will pick you up in the morning at 11.
Could you make it 10?
Son? Well, have fun, you two. Don't get into too much trouble.
Mike gets back into the car.
Put your foot down, Marky. It's time to start dancing.
They speed off and Ben's granny, a little old lady with permed grey hair, gives them a frail wave goodbye before looking at Ben, who's holding a magazine about plumbing.
I've got your favourite for your tea tonight. Cabbage soup. Come on in.
Ben looks after his parents' car with a scowl. Later, he's sitting in Granny's kitchen, staring mournfully down at a very unappealing-looking bowl of watery soup.
So how's school?
Fine.
Good. How are things outside of school? The things you're up to outside of school hours?
Yeah, fine.
Fine. Cabbage soup, okay?
Fine.
Granny smiles, then slurps her soup.
Fine. Oh, you'll be pleased to know the main course is cabbage pie with boiled cabbage on the side.
Ben makes himself smile, but his face falls when she walks away. His mum and dad are dressed to the nines and ballroom dancing in a large hall. Ben pours his soup into a pot plant behind him.
Oh, polish that off good and proper.
She gives him another ladleful, then trumps as she walks away. She sprays two cans of air freshener.
I'm spraying pine and apple together to make pineapple.
At the dance hall, Ben's mum, Linda, who's wearing a red dress showered with diamantes, is looking very serious as she and Mike move about the floor. Ben can't believe how much noise Granny is making as she unwraps her sweet then pops it in her mouth before getting back to her knitting.
Well, this is nice. Wanna guess what I'm doing, Benny?
Knitting?
If that's right, young man, I am knitting. But what am I knitting?
Another jumper with a kitten on it.
That's right. Well, I can't tell you what lucky boy it's for. You just have to wait till Christmas.
Ben shakes his head and goes back to reading his plumbing magazine. At the hall, the other dancers look perplexed as Mike stalks along, dragging Linda across the floor. During a game of Scrabble, Ben has spelled out the words, help me.
That's a double word score, triple letter score. That's 87 to me. Oh, getting ever so late. Time for your beddy buys, young man.
Ben's mouth drops open in shock when he sees that it's only 6:45. At the hall, Linda is now dragging Mike across the floor. Ben's lying in bed.
Once upon a time, a little boy called Benny, about your age, looked under his bed and found a magic carpet.
Oh, sorry, Grant. Do you know what? I'm really tired.
Oh, I don't know. You're too old for that sort of thing now, aren't you? Silly old Grant. I'll leave you be.
She turns off the bedside light.
Nighty-night.
She shuts the door and Ben sighs. Later, he sneaks out of his room and glances along the corridor to where the sound of deep snoring is coming from Granny's bedroom. He tiptoes to where an old-fashioned, velvet-covered phone is standing and picks up the receiver. He dials a number. At the hall, Mike's phone goes off while he's dancing.
Can you come and get me on board?
Ben, this isn't a good time. We're in the middle char of our cha-cha-cha.
You are being very selfish. I've had a long week. I've done 152 spray tans.
28 on me.
28 on your father. This is our time to unwind.
But it's torture here.
Oh, sorry. There seems to be a problem on the line.
Ben hangs up. He looks towards Granny's room.
Granny?
It's morning, and Granny is standing at the front room window.
He'll be here to pick you up soon.
Thanks for letting me stay. Are you okay, Gran?
Oh. Your mum's here. Not stopping. Must be very busy.
As Ben gets ready to leave, he doesn't see that Granny has tears in her eyes.
Well, goodbye then. I'll see you next Friday.
Yes.
Ben opens the passenger side door of the car, then looks back at Granny and gives her a wave. She waves back, then he's driven away. Granny looks after him wistfully for a moment, but once the car is out of sight, she allows herself a small, secretive and rather cheeky little smile. She moves away from the window. Ben steps into a newsagent's and gets a hearty welcome from the owner.
Aha, Ben, my favourite customer. I know you are a man who knows a great deal when he hears one. I have a very special, one day only, offer.
What is it, Raj?
24 cornettos for the price of 23. That's one cornetto free of any charge, only for my VIP customer.
What am I going to do with 24 cornettos?
Eat 12 now and put 12 in your pockets for later.
They're not out of date, are they?
So, you come in here for your plumbing weekly. I've kept it here safe for you. And this week, there is a free gift.
Are you, Ben? Cool. We didn't do one of those.
Do you spend all your spare time plumbing?
Yeah, when I'm at my boring old granny's.
Tut, tut, and a third tut. Just because your granny is old does not mean she is boring. She comes here on Wednesday afternoons to buy her Murray mints and tissues. You know, granny equipment. And we have many interesting chats.
Really?
Oh, yes. There is more to her than meets the eye. I bet your granny has a secret or two. Old people always do.
Not my granny. See you later.
He heads out. Later, at home, Ben is lying on his back on the floor and fitting the new piece of piping under a sink in the bathroom. He whistles happily as he works.
Is this right for a boy of his age?
No. When I was his age, I was like any normal lad. Upstairs in my bedroom trying on sequined outfits.
Linda comes to stand with Mike.
Do you remember all those years ago when you put your hands on my belly? We felt those little kicks and said,
He's going to be a dancer.
What happened?
Ben, are you going to be long? I need toilet.
Finish.
Go and have a manly chat with him.
But I really need to go.
Multitask. God, Ben.
So, Ben, we're having a guy chat. Father to son.
What are we chatting about?
Oh, football. Hey, son, football.
To be honest, Dad, I don't really like football.
What?
I said I don't really like football.
Me neither. It's just me and your mum are worried. You spend all your time plumbing.
But I love it. And I want to be a plumber when I grow up.
Yes, yes, but it's tough to make it to the very top of the plumbing world. You need something to fall back on.
Like what?
Ballroom dancing.
Ben is getting dropped off at Granny's.
See you later.
See you tomorrow. Maybe more like 12.
Or 1.
A man and his identically dressed son.
Benjamin, isn't it?
Hello, Mr. Parker.
How's the neighbourhood watch?
Looking in a notepad.
18 visits in as many weeks. Any weapons on you?
No.
Nunchuckers?
No.
Ninja throwing stars?
No.
Bamboo fighting sticks?
No.
So, you have spray cans with which you intend to graffitiize the close?
No.
Purpose of visit?
I'm here to see my gran.
The so-called pensioner. Terence, camera, please. Look into the lens.
Mr. Parker takes mugshot-style photos of Ben.
On your way.
Ben frowns and heads to Granny's door. Later, she is knitting while he is reading his magazine.
Gran,
You hungry, Ben?
Sort of.
Oh, good, because I've got a new cabbage soup on.
To be honest, Gran, as much as I love cabbage, you know, I'm a bit...
cabbaged out?
Yeah, exactly. And well, have you got anything that isn't...
cabbagey? Well, let me think. I might have some biscuits. There's a tin in the kitchen. Go have a look.
Ben races to the kitchen but can only find a tin of cabbage soup.
Try on top of the cupboard.
He climbs up on a stool and onto the kitchen counter, then tries to lift down a round biscuit tin, but it's too heavy. He takes off the lid, revealing red velvet material inside. He opens it out, and a golden glow shines on his face, the reflection of a fabulous selection of glistening jewels. He takes out a ruby necklace, then examines an emerald-studded brooch shaped like a feather.
You all right in there, Ben?
As Granny slowly makes her way across the living room in her comfy slippers, Ben frantically puts the necklace back in the tin, tastily rearranges the material over the jewels before sealing the lid, jumping down from the counter a second before Granny comes in.
Did you find anything?
Not a thing. Nothing. No. I didn't find anything in the cupboard at all.
Never mind. I'll just go stir up the cabbage stew then.
As Granny crosses to the hob, Ben stares at her in wonder and amazement. She looks back at him over her shoulder with a sweet, innocent expression, then turns away again. At home, Linda's eagerly watching TV when Mike dances in, oh, carrying cocktails in his hands.
Now, Mike, please rip the cellophane off the dip assortment.
With pleasure, Lynn. Saturday night has begun.
Ben comes into the living room.
Mum?
Shush! It started.
But it's only the title's bit.
Still!
Can I go into Granny's again tonight?
Are you sure? Well, suppose I could drive you round after the show. Your mother and I could enjoy a little passo doble.
Linda munches on a crisp.
Let me give her a coat.
He dials a number.
How long does it take? Oh, hello, Mother! Ben was wondering if he could come over later. Oh, really? Oh, all right. Goodbye, then. Sorry, son. She says she's going out.
What? Well, she never goes...
Silence! Please. Flavio is on.
And now let's have a quick chat with our red-hot Latin lover, Flavio Flavioli.
Thanks, Claudia. This evening, I am ready to rumble! Ladies, things are really going to hot up this week. Oh, yes, it's a scotchy-scotchy burn up the floor.
Linda looks excited and twirls her hair around her finger. Ben has opened up a window and throws out his coat and rucksack before following them out. He climbs down a wrought iron lamppost beside the garage, then gets his bike and sets off to Granny's house. As he cycles onto the nighttime close, he sees Granny's mobility scooter parked outside her house. A moment later, Granny climbs aboard, dressed in black and wearing a balaclava. Ben wobbles off the pavement and ducks in between two cars just before she looks up and down the road. She starts her scooter and sets off at a sedate pace, with Ben following on his bike. She rounds a corner and Ben freewheels behind her. Now, Granny makes her way along a narrow street, occasionally glancing over her shoulder as if aware that she's being trailed. Ben sees her stop at a curb and backs up, then peers around the corner as she gets off the scooter and crosses the pavement. Granny takes something in her gloved hands and scores a circle on the window of a jeweler's. She gets a plunger out of her jacket and suckers it on the glass pane, then takes a piece of white plastic and metal equipment designed to remove the panels.
No!
Granny sees Ben and scurries over to him.
Tell me, Tamaris, what on earth do you think you're doing?
What are you doing, Warlike?
I asked first.
Oh, I followed you. I found the biscuit tin, the one with the jug.
You mustn't say a word about that tin or what you saw here tonight. Promise?
I promise. Promise. On one condition, you have to tell me everything.
Come round tomorrow. Make sure nobody follows you. Mm-hmm. But before three, it's mobile library day.
Okay, Gran. But...
When Ben steps out from around the corner, Granny has disappeared.
Gran?
On Strictly, Linda's favourite dancer, the deeply tanned Flavio, is blowing extravagant kisses. She returns one just as Ben hauls himself back in through his bedroom window. Mike and Linda hear the thud and race upstairs.
Are you okay, Ben? We heard a lot of noise.
Window open. Have you been out?
Of course not.
Well, what have you been doing?
Dancing.
My man-to-man chat worked, as I knew it would.
Yeah, I was really inspired by whatever it was you said, and I just had to give it a go.
He's got it now. He's got the bug. Open the Asti Spumanti. Oh boy. It's gonna be a dancer. Come here, son. Oh, I'm so proud of you.
It's morning and Linda's on the phone.
Yeah, Anna, that is a shame. Oh, how awful. Yeah, no, I'll pass that on right away. Okay, ta-ta. Ben, I have good news. I have amazing news. I have sensational news. Which would you like first?
The good news?
Ricky Diamond came off his skateboard yesterday, broke all his arms and legs.
Are you sure that's the good news?
Yes, because it brings us to the amazing news. Now, Florence Starr needs a new partner for the Junior Regional Ballroom Championships.
I don't think I'm ready for a competition just yet.
Modest, yes, the judges will lap it up.
Okay, what's the sensational news?
Flavio, he's got a new puppy.
At the dance hall.
You didn't say it was that, Ben.
He'd better be as good as you say he is, Linda.
Dancing is in his blood. He's like me.
That's what worries me.
Excuse me.
I said, that's what worries me.
Ben will not let you down, will you?
I hope he's versatile.
Florence is very versatile.
I can dance anything. I can dance tango, I can dance jive, I can dance foxtrot, I can dance swing, I can dance rock and roll and Lindy Hop. I can dance anything, really.
She could dance anything, really. She's studying ballet for a week in Paris next year.
That's in France.
Oh, you see? She's a genius in geography too. Oh. Well, we'll leave you two to it. Make magic. Some really wow moments, please.
Yeah. Can we have some really wow moments, please?
I just said that.
The two mums face off to each other. Then Florence's mum, Kelly, storms off. And Linda gives Ben a pat on the shoulder before following.
Well, we haven't got long, so I've made a rehearsal plan.
The thing is, Florence, I'm so good at dancing. I like to let my partners rehearse on their own first, you know, so they can get up to speed.
I don't need to get up to speed. I know every dance there is.
Do you, though? Do you know the quick trot? The rum bump? Can you do the shimmy shammy?
You've made those up.
You learn those, and I'll see you in a week. Bye.
Ben!
Oh, and don't forget the Spanish otter.
Granny's jewels.
This is amazing. I was just a girl when it all began. I was from a very poor family. Growing up, I'd never even seen diamonds and sapphires, rubies like this. Look at it. Buried under the ground for billions of years. What a beauty. And once I got a taste for stealing them, I couldn't stop. Every one of these has its own story.
What about this one?
Oh, I stole that from a rich American heiress when I was working below decks on an ocean liner.
That one?
Oh, from a castle in deepest, darkest Russia. It belonged to the last Tsarina.
Wow, it's enormous. What was that?
What was what?
I thought someone was outside the window.
I think your mind's playing tricks on you. Now, this is the biggest one.
A diamond.
From a Maharani in India, no less. I had to scale the wall of their palace.
How?
Well, I climbed onto the back of an elephant and shimmied up its trunk right into the Maharaja's chamber.
You must have half the police in the world looking for you.
Oh, I did. They couldn't catch me. But they gave me a name. The Black Cat.
The Black Cat? Hold on. So how did you end up living in a small house with a broken telly?
Oh, I never sold any of it. Oh, well, that's the way you get caught. No, I stole for the sport. But when your dad came along 40 years ago, I gave it up. Had to be a mum, not an international jewel thief. Now, how about a nice game of Scrabble?
What? You can't play Scrabble. You're not someone from one of those songs I'm not allowed to listen to. You're a gangster.
Oh, it was all a very long time ago.
You're a gangster.
Gangster granny.
That's right. We've got to get you blinged up. Well, you got to get with the slang. So the police are...
Bobbies?
Oh, feds!
Granny poses with a hairdryer for a gun.
Oh, and a sick tune is a good song.
Harry Como. He dropped some sick tunes. Get me?
Swigging milk.
I'm gonna jack your ice for shizzer.
Well, good.
Yes! Yes, I'm sounding quite thugged out now.
For real.
True that, cuz.
The collection.
These must be the most valuable jewels in the world.
No, no. No, I never did get those.
Those? What were they?
A noise outside the window. Ben scurries to the window. There's nothing there except for a white and green van parked on the opposite curb.
I can't see. I'm not going to choke you. Ben, stall him.
What? How?
Come on, come on. But don't kill him. Unless you really have to.
Mr. Parker strides in.
Suspicious amount of jewellery on your grandmother.
I can explain.
By the power vested in myself by myself, I shall conduct a full search of these premises.
You can't come in here.
Why not?
Because Granny's doing her naked yoga.
A likely story, out of my way. Madam, I demand to...
Mr. Parker, I am in the middle of my tree pose.
Yes, but I mean... Where are the jewels?
What are you talking about?
Hand them over, or this will become a matter for the police.
Oh, fine. When they get here, I'll report you.
What for?
Spying on old ladies in their underwear.
But you were fully clothed when I looked through the window.
That's what they all say.
You've not heard the last of this.
Parker shuffles out with his hands over his and Terence's eyes. Ben sighs with relief.
First, yes, Ben, you might want to put some clothes on. Oh, sorry.
Granny sidles out, dressed only in her off-white thermal underwear. At home, Ben's reading a library book on famous jewels.
Ben! Benno! Ben! Benny Ben! The Ben Man.
Ben!
Your mother needs to talk to you about your outfit.
I don't really need a costume, do I?
You need something with zhuzh. You need something with pizzazz. Something that says, everyone, look at me. Look at me, everyone. And now. I've had one or two ideas.
Mike wheels in a rack of flamboyant clothes. Ben looks downhearted. Now he's being made to model them.
The Love Bomb. Fruit Cocktail. Piano Man. The Quality Street. Brian Cox's Wonders of the Solar System. The Hedgerow and Badger. And finally, the Great British Bake Off.
The recipe for success.
Oh, that's special.
You're special.
Oh, stop it.
Can't I just wear jeans and a t-shirt?
Ben.
The first one, then.
The Love Bomb it is. Now, I have to make the trousers more flary. And do you think it needs more hearts? I think it needs more hearts.
A white waistcoat and trousers.
Dad, can I ask you a question?
Well, nothing too taxing, please.
I was just wondering, what is the most valuable set of jewels in the world?
Oh, I know this one. It was on Pointless. The crown jewels. Belongs to the Queen. You got the crown thing, the ball thing, the stick thing. Must be worth a fortune.
Thanks, Dad. Gotta go.
Whoa! I'll need you for a fitting.
Florence wants an extra practice.
What? How do you know? She hasn't called.
Well, when your dance partner's like me and Flo, you just know. It's telepathy. OK, Florence. I'll be right with you.
Ben heads out, leaving his parents looking baffled. Mr. Parker is watching when Ben arrives at Granny's.
The binoculars, Terence.
both Parkers are dressed the same again.
Make a note of the colour of his trousers, son. That's if they are his trousers. A purloin from the local charity shop.
Granny looks tired when she opens the door.
You okay, Gran?
Yes, I'm fine, thank you, young man. I'm just having a little nap. Come in.
In the kitchen.
It's the crown jewels.
What's the crown jewels?
The ones you've never managed to steal.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, they are the most valuable jewels in the world. But stealing from the Queen. She looks like such a nice lady.
Oh, she's got loads of jewels. She's not going to miss a few.
Now, Ben, listen to me. I know you like hearing all my stories, but you really must forget about this whole stealing jewels malarkey.
But
no. I've put it all behind me now. Besides, the crown jewels. It's impossible.
Nothing's impossible for the Black Cat.
Granny looks tempted. Ben puts in the final piece of a jigsaw puzzle showing the Tower of London. At home, he takes all the packets of cereal out of the cupboard, then races to his bedroom, where he's constructing a scale model of the tower and its surroundings. He retrieves a chemistry set from the garage, then is researching the Bingfeeters who protect the crown jewels. He uses his model and toy Bingfeeters to work out their patrol routines, then layers blueprints over each other to build up a fuller picture of how the tower is laid out. He finds a copy of his plumbing magazine with an article about the sewers beneath the tower and envisages miles of bricked lined tunnels leading to a bright white light.
Off to Grand's! I'm ready!
Bad news, Ben.
Granny's had a fall.
Ben looks distraught. Later, he and his parents are walking through a hospital. They reach a ward and Ben spots Granny lying in a bed. She looks pleased to see them.
Oh, hello, dears. Oh, lovely of you to come.
How are you feeling, Mum?
Oh, not too clever. One minute I'm reaching for a tin of soup, the next I'm lying face downwards on the lino.
How long were you there?
Oh, not long. Day or so.
I'm sorry, Mum.
It's funny, because I was going to call you yesterday. You know, for one of our girly natters.
Oh, well, you weren't to know, my dear.
What did the doctors say?
Well, they give me all sorts of tests. You know, X-ray scans, whatnot. They're going to come and talk to me later. Hopefully, I won't be in here too long.
I hope so, too.
Well, we better let you get some rest.
Well, I'd like to stay a bit longer.
You know, I don't like hospitals.
Yeah, but Michael.
Ben slides his bag under the bed.
We're off.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
Mike gives her hand a squeeze.
See you soon.
Granny gives Ben a fragile little wave and the slightest hint of a wink. He heads off after his parents along the corridor.
Oh, I've left my bag in there. Oh, don't worry, I'll meet you in the car park.
A doctor is with Granny.
I'm sorry. We just spotted it too late.
Granny looks upset but resigned. And as the doctor walks away, her face lights up when she sees that Ben has come back. He gets his bag out from under the bed.
Oh. You okay, Granny?
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you, young man, fine.
Good, because Mum wants out a way to steal the crown jewels.
Oh, Ben.
It's all about the plumbing. You see, the tower has a 500-year-old sewer running underneath it, and that's our way in.
You're forgetting that the whole place is teeming with beef eaters.
I've memorised and timed all their patrol routes.
And how do we get into the jewel house?
Drill the locks off the doors.
The crown jewels are kept behind bulletproof glass.
Uncle Derek, he got me this chemistry set from the market, and it has this metal that blows up when it touches water.
Well, it seems like you've thought the whole thing out.
Well?
Oh, you're not serious.
One last job for the Black Cat.
One last job? Oh.
So, what do you think?
I'm in.
Yes!
Ben, there's one small problem.
What?
I'm not meant to leave here.
Ben considers. A little later, he's wearing a white coat and pushing Granny along a corridor in a wheelchair.
Excuse me. It's Gloria.
A doctor starts chasing after them and more medics join him. Ben ducks down a side corridor, then backs up, using a man pushing a large cart of laundry as cover. Now, Ben and Granny are in a lift with more doctors.
You're not a doctor?
I am.
Yes. He's got YFS.
What?
Young face syndrome. It's what inspired him to go into medicine.
I'm 52.
Ben wheels Granny out of the hospital, and at the top of a flight of steps, she gets out of the wheelchair and climbs into the back seat of Mike's car.
Oh, they discharged me.
Granny's doctor.
Drive!
Mike speeds off, and Granny's doctor and his colleagues are helpless to do anything about it. As Ben is seeing Granny to her front door, the white and green van is still parked up at the end of the close.
So, Granny, do you need a couple of days to get your strength back?
No, it has to be sooner. Let's do it on Friday. Just think, this time next week the crown jewels will be ours. One last job for the Black Cat.
Yeah. Oh, you silver-maned menace.
I have you now.
Mr. Parker has been listening into their conversation through a microphone wired up to the van. Ben's eagerly packing his clothes to take to Gran's when Mike bursts enthusiastically into his room.
It's Friday night. You ready, son?
Yeah, you don't have to pick me up too early tomorrow. Me and Granny will be playing Scrabble way into the night.
You're not going to Granny's tonight?
No.
No.
Oh, he's pretending he's forgotten. It's the Ballroom Championships.
Oh.
Three judges are sitting at a table at the end of a dance hall decked out for the Junior Regional Ballroom Championships. Lights glisten in crystal chandeliers, and Mike and Linda look giddy with excitement as they head in arm. They come to sit at a table with Florence's mum, Kelly, who shows off her sparkly dress.
Let's hope Ben doesn't let my princess down.
As if my little prince would.
Your boy hasn't turned up to any rehearsals.
He used telephony.
Anything less than straight tens would be a disappointment.
Anything less than straight tens would be a disappointment.
Yeah, I said that.
Please welcome your host for this evening, the star of Strictly, and he was once a guest on Saturday Kitchen. Go wild for Flavioli!
Linda screams with excitement as Flavio struts out onto the dance floor. He strikes a pose.
Good evening, Basildon. Are you ready to a rumba? No. Flavio, Ino, hear you. I say, are you ready to a rumba?
He spins on the spot.
I don't want to hurt
just want to love you.
Linda looks humiliated that everyone heard what she said. Ben and Florence are the next couple to dance.
Ben, we haven't practiced once. I need to ask you a question and I promise I won't be angry with you if you answer me honestly. Have you ever danced before?
No.
I hate you. I hate you. I hate you.
Superbio! Please welcome our next young ballroom superstars, Florence and the Bane!
A spotlight glows on a red curtain as Florence turns Ben round and puts her hands on his shoulders.
You're on your own.
She gives him a shove and he stumbles out onto the dance floor alone. Kelly and his parents look confused. Ben turns slowly on the spot, gazing at the expectant faces all around him. Mike and Linda.
Dance.
Ben swallows nervously, then starts bobbing up and down, awkwardly waving his arms about. He jumps about a bit, wearing flared trousers and a white, heart-decorated waistcoat over a bright red shirt. He throws his arms about a bit more, painfully aware of the stunned and bewildered expressions on the faces of the audience. He chucks in a bit of the robot, but his moves are definitely not impressing. He runs across the floor and does a half-hearted leap, then attempts a bit of a tap routine. His parents look mortified. Kelly looks like she can't believe what she's seeing. Ben's routine is brought to a sudden stop. People in the audience mutter and shake their heads. Flavio.
Well, that was how you say interesting. Well, let's see what our judges think about your performance. Over to you, judges. With the scores!
Ben has been scored 0, 0, and 1.
That's it!
The last judge changes his score to 0.
Oh. So you have 0, 0, and 0, which give you a combined total of 0.
You ruined it for my princess!
Kelly takes off her bright pink stiletto and throws it at Ben. It whirls through the air in slow motion, then speeds up again as it whacks Flavio in the face. He's been knocked out.
Flavio! He needs a kiss of life!
Linda hurtles onto the dance floor and kneels at Flavio's side for administering something that is less the kiss of life, more like a full-on snog. Ben looks really embarrassed. Flavio comes round.
Oh, get off me, you nutter!
Linda, we need to get out of here now!
Come on, let's get him!
Kelly leads the audience on a rampage after Ben and his parents.
Get on your bikes! Come down!
Having finally got home in one piece, if a little dishevelled, Ben enters the house, then looks up at his parents' disappointed and angry expressions.
I'm sorry.
Yes, you're right. We have done everything for him. No, you don't deserve this. Yes, I agree, Linda. You did go too far with Flavio.
I did not say that.
Ben goes to his room and shuts the door before leaning back against it, looking angry with himself. Granny's at the window.
Where were you? We said seven.
Granny?
The black cat, actually. Why are you dressed as a teddy from a card shop?
Mum made me. It's a long story.
Shut it. No time. You ready?
Ready for what?
To steal the blooming crown jewels.
Looking cool in black, with balaclavas and dark shades, Ben and Granny climb aboard her mobility scooter. They seem to speed along the nighttime city streets. They travel up in the lift of a tall building, then roll across a raised walkway. They cruise past a couple of lads in street clothes who give them curious looks. As they make their way along a road, a police van starts to follow them.
Oh, it's the Fed! Hold on! I'm gonna floor it!
10 miles per hour.
We're really the catching up!
Another policeman skids to a halt in front of them, blocking their escape route. As an officer from the van comes to join them, Ben woefully removes his shades.
This your vehicle, madam?
Yes, officer.
Because we've had reports of one of these being driven illegally on a motorway. Speeds of up to 8 miles an hour. Two people, also illegal. Wouldn't be you, would it?
Oh.
Have you been drinking?
I've had a glass of sherry at Easter.
So, what are you two doing out so late?
We're going to a late night rally of mobility scooters.
Rally of mobility scooters. And where is this mobility scooter rally exactly?
Near the Tower of London.
Oh, but don't worry, we're not going to steal anything from the Tower of London. No, that would be wrong. No, we are going there purely for the mobility scooter rally. Where are we? Let me off.
Stop right there. Let me give you a lift.
Granny and Ben can't believe their luck. The officer drops them off outside the Tower of London.
Enjoy the rally.
He heads off.
Nick.
They both gaze up at the tower.
Oh, blimey.
Right, so the drain cover should be right about here.
There's a van parked over it.
Oh, come on, Millicent. Come on, old girl, you can do it.
Granny guns the mobility scooter, and with Ben's help pushing, they manage to roll the van forward.
Stop!
A little later, Ben and Granny are pushing aside the heavy cover of the drain.
Oh. Do you want to say it or shall I?
You say it.
Let's rock and roll.
In the sewers.
How long does this go on for? It's actually one of the longest stretches of sewer in London.
Well, I've a lucky one.
Oh, what was that? It's probably just a rat.
Now, a sign reading "Ye Olde Privy" is pointing to a hole in the floor.
Steady.
Ben sees the sign as he's pulling himself up through the hole.
Over here, look. Go, 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 go.
Granny's looking a bit tired as she sneaks after Ben, pulling a shopping trolley behind her. Ben pauses and uses a mirror to look around a corner. He only sees one beefeater patrolling, but when he steps out from round the corner, there are at least four more. He ducks back behind the wall.
Beef feeders everywhere. They must have put more on tonight.
Ben remembers the sewer plan.
Don't worry. I've got an idea.
He turns a rusty wheel, which increases the water pressure on a gauge. It reaches maximum velocity, and he and Granny look towards a courtyard, but nothing happens. Suddenly, a drain cover pops up as a surge of water erupts from under the cobbles. More cover's blown off, and the beefeaters hurry to see what the problem is, leaving their posts. Ben gestures for Granny to follow him, and she does, but then remembers her tartan shopping bag and grabs that. She hobbles across the cobbled ground after Ben. A sign reads, Jewel House, maintenance access only. Granny uses a hand drill to break open a lock. The door opens, and Ben and Granny make their way down some steps into a room with a vaulted ceiling. They pass stone pillars and wrought iron railings. Ben is wheeling the trolley. Granny gestures for him to stop and reaches into the bag for two cans of air freshener. She sprays them in the air, revealing a red laser beam in front of them. They very carefully step over it, and Ben lifts the trolley with him. Granny is looking absolutely exhausted, but then sprays the air freshness again. This time, she reveals a laser beam that they have to duck under. In a glass case in front of them are the fabulous crown jewels.
Oh, my stars and garters, they're beautiful.
As Ben stares in at the glittering crowns, Granny removes her balaclava. Ben sticks something to the glass panel, then carefully inserts a pale crystal into it with a pair of tweezers. He looks satisfied with his work. A woman. It's the Queen.
What on earth are you doing here? What on earth are you doing here, ma'am?
One has a Queen's speech to write.
She removes the sticky gum from the glass.
And I find it easier
to think queenly thoughts wearing the right sort of hat.
She takes the crown from the case and pops it on her head.
Yeah, that's better. Now, more to the point, what are you two doing here?
It's quite difficult to explain, Your Majesty.
Do you have one of these? They give them to the elderly. You press that button and help comes. Only my one brings the SAS. So you'd better start explaining, or it's clicky, clicky, shooty, shooty.
I am solely to blame.
No, it was me who said we should steal the crown jewels.
No, but it was me that started this whole thing when I pretended to be an international jewel thief.
Pretended?
My grandson. He hated staying with me. I heard him saying how boring I was.
I don't think that now.
No, I know, dear. But the truth is, I was boring. I just ate cabbage and played Scrabble. So, one night, I made up a story to amuse him that I was really the Black Cat.
Oh, hang on. What about the jewels in my tin?
Worthless, dear. Costume jewellery. Your dad used to play with them when he was a boy. Oh, do what you want with me. Lock me up in the tower forever, but I beg of you, let the boy go. He's only 11.
Nearly 12.
What to do? On the one hand, one finds the story very touching, yet you have committed high treason, and it's so long since we've had a good hanging.
But one does understand. One is a grandmother oneself. And between you and me, I know that my own grandchildren sometimes find me dull.
But you're the queen.
Tell me about it.
They sometimes forget your young ones, don't they?
Hmm. You know, the young people of this country should give more time to the elderly.
Yes, yes.
Do you know what happened to the last man who tried to steal the crown jewels? He was pardoned. In 1671, a Colonel Blood was caught in the very act of robbery. And King Charles II found his daring so amusing that he decided to let him go free. So, in strict royal tradition, that is what I shall do. You may leave.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Majesty.
No groveling, please. That's just for work days.
Ben and Granny scurry away, and the Queen, wearing a fluffy pink dressing gown, smiles to herself. Some beefeaters hurry in.
We heard voices, Your Majesty.
Just talking to myself again, boys.
They bow and she dismisses them with an imperious wave of her hand. Granny and Ben are nearly back at the close. They stop outside her house and Ben lifts the trolley off the footplate of the scooter. She takes off her glasses.
Now, Ben. It's been quite a night.
Oh, I loved it.
But don't get a taste for this sort of thing. Plumbing is your gift.
Hello.
Good boy. Well, we were very lucky to get away with it.
A van door suddenly slides open and armed police officers pile out of it. Squad cars arrive, and as more armed officers troops into the close, a helicopter hovers overhead, shining bright lights down onto Ben and Granny.
Surrounded.
Having done its job, the helicopter moves away.
Put your hands in the air and step away from the tartan chopper.
Another police car arrives with its lights flashing. A very stern-looking senior officer approaches Granny, accompanied by a colleague, along with Mr. Parker and Terence.
Thought you could steal the crown jewels. Well, it's all over. Only crown you'll be seeing from now on is the inside of a crown court.
If we stole the crown jewels, Mr. Parker, where are they?
Stevens.
Stevens steps forward, and as he unzips the shopping trolley, Granny and Ben share a knowing look.
Washing up liquid bottle. Air fresheners, a tin of cabbage soup, and another tin of cabbage soup.
Mr. Parker, this had better not be another false alarm.
Where have you been all night?
We were at a mobility scooter rally.
If you believe that, you believe...
It's true. I'll give him a lift there.
But we heard them, didn't we, Terence? She's an international jewel thief.
Me? I'm just a boring old granny.
Soon, all the armed police officers have lowered their weapons and are having a good laugh.
All elements, stand down.
Come on, wrap it up. Come on, lads.
Mr. Parker looks gutted as Ben and Granny head towards the front door.
Dad, next weekend, can we please just play crazy golf?
Yes, son. As long as you let me win.
Inside the house.
Oh, I'm cream crackered. Oh, me too. I wouldn't have missed it for the world. Oh, the joy of being alive.
You okay, Gran?
I'm fine, honestly. I'm... Oh. Ben. Oh,
I lied to you at the hospital.
What?
Well, what the doctor told me was that what I've got, I'll get better. No, I haven't got long.
Ben throws his arms around her.
Listen. Nobody lives forever. I hope you don't forget your boring old granny.
Never.
They bump fists, laughing and crying at the same time. It's morning, and Ben is half-heartedly pushing a spoon around a bowl at the kitchen counter.
Ben, your dad and I have had a little chat. We were wrong to make you do the dancing when your heart clearly isn't in it.
And you're not very good.
Linda gives Mike a warning look and he shrugs.
You like plumbing. So plumb all you like. And just take your dance classes at weekends.
Mum, Dad, Granny's not well.
I know. I spoke to the doctor. I didn't want to upset you. And Granny wouldn't want us to worry, but I am worried. Oh. I don't want to lose her.
We'll all look after her from now on. Together.
Mike, Linda and Ben are at Granny's house. Words spelled out on a Scrabble board read Christmas, happy and family. Granny gets a round of applause and Mike holds her smiling face in his hands. Now, Granny's teaching Ben to make one of her cabbage recipes. She gazes at him fondly as he talks enthusiastically. Granny's knitting in bed when Linda comes in. It's loaded with tea and cakes. Later, Granny spells out thank you on the Scrabble board, then smiles as Ben plays out their adventure as a puppet show. He makes one of them wave at her, and she waves in return. Finally, she puts the word goodbye on the board. It's a bright, clear day, and Ben is standing beside a grave in a churchyard. Mike comes over to him. Both of them dressed in black, and puts his arm round Ben's shoulders.
You know what I miss the most? The stories she used to tell. When I was little, she used to make up the most amazing tales for me.
Me too.
I'll never forget them.
Did she make up stories for you about the jewels?
What jewels?
The costume jewels. The ones you played with when you were a boy?
No. We never had any jewels in the house growing up. I'd remember that.
That's weird. That's really weird.
Thing is, Ben, your granny was so good at spinning the yarn, you could never quite be sure what was made up and what was real.
What happened to all her stuff?
Kept all her old photographs for us to have and a few other bits and bobs. Everything else went to the charity shop. That's what she would have wanted.
Ben nods, with tears shining on his cheeks, then looks up at his dad. Now Ben heads into the newsagents, where Raj is standing behind the counter.
Aha, Benjamin. How are you getting on?
Okay.
Your grandmother was a very special lady.
Thanks, Raj.
And in her memory, I would like to give you a free gift. She loved a bag of merriments. So, here you are.
Thank you.
It's just the one mint.
Oh.
Go on then. Have the whole bag.
Thank you.
59 pence.
The front page of a newspaper.
What's this?
Haven't you heard? Someone left a load of jewels outside the local charity shop in an old biscuit tin, huh? They say it's worth millions.
A wondrous smile spreads across Ben's face. It's Christmas, and snow falls onto Ben's house, which is festooned with bright lights and decorations. His dad lifts a turkey out of the oven, and he and Linda admire its colour.
A perfect Bengal mahogany.
He sets it down on the side. Ben excitedly unwraps a gift, which resembles a small orange football.
A spring ball cock and a £30 voucher for lagging material. Thanks.
Now, Mikey, unleash the luxury chocolate assortment, for it is time for Her Majesty.
A Union Jack flag flutters in the breeze, and the front of Buckingham Palace appears on the TV, then the Queen herself.
Christmas is a special time of year, a time for people of all ages to celebrate together. Recently, I met an elderly woman and her grandson at the Tower of London. I was struck by the great affection which spanned the many years between them. So today, I urge the young people of this country to be more like that boy. Talk to us old folk, and listen too. And remember, just because we're old doesn't mean we're boring. You never know when we might surprise you. I mean, it's fine and dandy being queen, but for all these years, all I've really wanted to do is dance. Hit it!
As the queen starts rocking out in an elegant stateroom, Mike, Linda and Ben stare at the screen in wide-eyed amazement. Linda starts to smile as the Queen does some rather sedate breakdance arm movements before moving on to do the robot.
She's good.
I've always said, Her Majesty should do Strictly.
They all nod.
Skip to the coupe.